Joining us now to analyze today's headlines is Rahul Mahajan, sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. Hi, Rahul. About 2,000 people hailing from Bangladesh and from the Rohingya community of Myanmar have been rescued from several boats over the last 2 days off of the shores of Indonesia and Malaysia. Rohingya are a persecuted community of Muslims from the northern region of Myanmar called Rakhine. There were some women and children among those rescued. The migrants had apparently been stranded by traffickers and told to swim ashore. According to interviews with some of the migrants, they had been at sea for 2 months and were extremely hungry and weak, and they were headed to Malaysia and Thailand to find work. In recent months, the Thai government has cracked down on refugees. According to the UNHCR, about 25,000 Rohingya from Myanmar and Bangladeshis have attempted to migrate by sea during the first 3 months of 2015 alone. That's twice the number from last year. Now, Rahul, we've been hearing much about the crisis of immigration in Europe, but very little about this crisis. Why do you think that is?
Well, I guess the first thing is that, especially for the American media, the definition, something is a crisis insofar as it affects the lives of what you might think of as people like us, which means mostly white, middle class, and first world. And if there are no effects on either end, as is the case of Burmese refugees going to Thailand, it's very, very difficult for something to mount to the level of a crisis. I think it's also true that with regard to the Rohingya in particular, it's been very difficult for people to talk very much or say very much about it when there is so little sort of opposition to what's being done from inside Burma. Even sadly, from Aung San Suu Kyi has remained pretty much silent on the issue.
Houthi rebels and their allies in Yemen have agreed to a 5-day ceasefire on Sunday to allow for humanitarian assistance to reach civilians trapped in a war against Saudi Arabia and the U.S. UN agencies have been warning in recent days of a humanitarian catastrophe if aid was not allowed to reach vulnerable populations in the Arab world's poorest nation. The ceasefire is set to start tomorrow. However, airstrikes on Sunday hit the house of former President Ali Abdullah Saleh, who was ousted in an Arab Spring revolution and who supports the Houthi cause. Saudi King Salman has said he will not attend the Gulf Cooperation Council summit at Camp David because of the ceasefire and will send his representatives instead. King Salman was scheduled to meet with President Obama. The Arab Kingdom was quick to insist that Salman's absence did not indicate a snub to Obama. Well, Rahul, how important is the ceasefire in Yemen? And by the way, is too much being made of Salman's absence at Camp David?
It's hard to know with ceasefires right at the beginning what to make of them. In this case, I think it's certainly a good sign that both sides are willing to allow for at least a humanitarian pause. I mean, there have been we've seen other rebel groups in the region that don't seem to have such consideration, so the Houthis get credit for that. Beyond that, it's very hard to say. And with regard to King Salman, again, I think that if he wanted to do a real snub, I doubt that he would have sent the crown prince.
Finally, prominent investigative journalist Seymour Hersh released one of his trademark bombshell exposés over the weekend. In a lengthy article in the London Review of Books, Hersh revisited the 2011 U.S. raid in Pakistan that resulted in the killing of Osama bin Laden. The story, when it first came out, was that the U.S. raid on bin Laden's Abbottabad compound was conducted without the knowledge of Pakistani authorities. But Hersh, based on interviews with some Pakistani sources, maintains that in fact the raid was conducted with full knowledge and cooperation with Pakistan. Bin Laden had apparently been imprisoned at the compound by Pakistan's Inter-Services Intelligence Bureau for a number of years. Well, Rahul, if Hersh's report is true, does it undermine the heroic narrative of the U.S. finding and eliminating bin Laden in this Hollywood movie-style raid that we saw? Are there any serious implications of the story beyond that, as far as you can tell?
Well, I think the heroic narrative had largely unraveled. I mean, we've known for quite some time that bin Laden didn't fight, that there was at most one fighting man in the compound, and that it was accomplished with...
Rahul? We're going to try to bring... Yes, go ahead.
It
was accomplished with?
A minimum of real sort of fighting going on.
Right.
With regard to Hersh, though, there is the real question of the reporting, because although he's broken many important stories in the last 10 years, he's written a lot of stories that are to say the least, wildly implausible and sometimes just seem to be untrue. He's gone off sort of half-cocked on questions of war with Iran. He wrote a major piece for the London Review of Books claiming that Turkey, of all things, was behind the serious chemical weapons attacks in Ghouta, a claim that for which his data was very scanty and which didn't make any sense in the first place. And here again, there are some real questions about what's going on here. The most important claim in the story is that the ISI, was holding bin Laden prisoner in the Abbottabad compound, and that the Saudis knew about it and were partly bankrolling it, but that they were very strongly resistant to letting the Americans actually talk to bin Laden because of some potentially incriminating information he might have had, so that the deal they made was that the U.S. could stage a raid. Why would they stage a raid when bin Laden was being held prisoner? I don't know. But the raid had to involve killing bin Laden. It's a very weird and convoluted and complicated story that I find hard to believe. And it is true if you read in detail. It seems like some of the people Hirsch is talking to have a real animus against how Obama handled the PR for the attack, and that may be part of the motivation for this story.
Rahul, thanks as always for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
See you then.
Rahul Mahajan is a sociologist and author of Full Spectrum Dominance, U.S. Power in Iraq and Beyond. This is Uprising. We'll be right back.